Thank you, Tiffany. Appreciate it. Song service tonight was a blessing to me. I appreciate that choir special, too. I said something about it in the sermon this morning about the angelic host crying holy to the Father. When we get there and understand His purpose and plan, like Tiffany was singing, we're sure going to bow the knee and cry holy, aren't we? Amen. All right, we have a treat tonight, privilege. We have one of our college grads in the service that is doing a good job up the Promised Land, way across Georgia. And I have Brother Chad Stanley with us tonight. They've driven in, and we're glad to have him. We're going to ask Brother Chad to come and bring the message tonight. We also have a grad back there. Raise your hand, brother, from Ghana, right there. Good to have you with us tonight, too, also. Amen. Brother Chad told me a while ago, he said, I finished my bus route after church and then drove on down. So no grass been growing under his feet, amen? And they've been doing a great job up there. We're proud of the job the Lord's allowing them to do and souls that's being reached. And we're going to ask him to come and preach. He needs no real special introduction to us. Amen. Come on, Brother Chad.
Amen. I enjoyed that special that Tiffany sang, and a lot of truth there. I was studying not long ago. We've at our church sure went through storms and battles, and I know you all aren't strangers to those things. And during those times, I was studying, finding promises in the Word of God, and I was reading, and I come across something that Charles Spurgeon said. And as she was singing, it got me thinking about a statement he made. He made this statement. He said that he thanked God and he praised God for the waves in the storm that slammed him against the rock of ages. Isn't that good? And a lot of times we look at the storm and we say, boy, this is miserable, this is hard. But when we don't understand, amen, we can bow the knee and just trust the Lord that He has a plan and He's working all things together for His good, amen, and for His plan. And this evening, I have mixed emotions. I'm prepared to preach out of the book of Hebrews, but I'm not sure that's what I'm going to do yet. That's dangerous, isn't it? And I want to preach on the might of Moses. That's what I'd like to do out of Hebrews chapter 11. But I've had something on my heart for quite a while, and I couldn't get it off my heart, and I've been wrestling with it, and I thought maybe, well, God don't want me to do that, but I want to mind Him. I want to be a help, a blessing to you. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs. Proverbs 29. Let's go there. Proverbs 29. Let me share with you a little bit of what God's been doing in our church. God has been so good to us, and we serve a good God, don't we? He's good all the time to us, and better than any one of us deserve. And the Lord's been so good. I shared with you about storms and battles. The beginning of this year, the end last year, 2015, God was just blessing. We were growing, saw all kind of folks saved, folks added the church. End of the year with a terrific blessing in our missions, our Faith Promise Missions Conference. And boy, it just seemed like we were full steam ahead and nothing could slow us down. And then January came. And the last week of January, I had four families all in 1 week say, we're leaving. About 2 weeks later, had about four more families say, we're leaving. And boy, that'll take the wind out of your sail. And you think, boy, things are going good. And then these things happen, and just one thing after another. And I just determined I've got to trust God. And the Bible says, the Lord said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And it's His church, not my church, amen. It's the Lord's church. And so we went through some struggles, some battles, and different things. And by the way, 9 times out of 10, when you have groups of people leave the church like that, they leave over the pettiest, silliest things. And it's so easy for us to get so upset. But God knows what He's doing. He knew what He had to do. I had a man come to me in the church. He said, preacher, quit being so discouraged. He said, God is going to work all this out. He's going to take care of it. My good friend, Brother Andy Taylor. And boy, he would call me on the phone, encourage me. He would take me out to lunch and just be a blessing. And him and his wife have been tremendous blessings to our family. Where's Brother Congdon at? Is he gone? Is he outside? Security. I hope he can hear me. When I left Florida to go to Georgia 4 years ago, June, it was in June, Brother Congdon said, "Can I do anything for you?" And I said, "Well, you can pray for us." And he said, How do you want me to pray?" He said, "I want to pray specifically." I said, "Brother Congdon, would you pray that God would give me a handful of families just like yours?" And I meant that with all my heart. And I can say to you tonight, God has answered them prayers. And I'm not just talking about Brother and Sister Congdon, but that family, many of you families here, and that I just look at and thank God for the way you were a blessing to the church here and the preacher. And Brother Andy Taylor is one of them families, him and his wife. And I know Brother Pritchard went to be with the Lord last week, and you all have been dealing with those things. And Andy Taylor, 60 years old, 4 weeks ago on a Wednesday, turned 60, picture of health, businessman, just a tremendous blessing. I could say something about a need. I could say something about a vision, a burden God's given me, and he'd come to me, and he'd go to the other men in the church, and he'd come to me, and he'd say, "Preacher, us men, we're for you. Let's just do it. Amen." And talk about a blessing and things like that. And Pastor Carter's had the opportunity of meeting him. Well, 1 week, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, he turned 60 on a Wednesday, healthy as could be. The following Wednesday, I got a call at 7 o'clock in the morning. His wife went to wake him up, and he was dead in bed. No warning, boy, you talk about, again, the wind being blown out of your sail. I mean, we've been growing. God's been blessing, being seeing souls saved. We had a revival in January. Every night of the revival, Pastor Carter, he's a businessman, owned businesses all over town. Every night of the revival, he would pack 2 and 3 pews full of people. He'd tell the people that worked for him, "If you want a check, you'll come to the meeting tonight." I like that, amen. And he'd fill pews, amen. And I'm here to tell you, we had entire families get saved in that revival meeting as a result of Brother Andy Taylor bringing them folks. You know what he did? He did what the Bible said. He compelled them to come. But boy, he was a blessing. But you talk about the wind out of your sails. Brother Carter, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I imagine you have. And I know I've come to the place to realize I was wrong for it. But sometimes we become dependent on men. We do. We get good men, and I thank God for good men. But if we're not careful as a man of God, we can become dependent on men, putting so much faith in man and dependency upon man. And if we're not careful, we'll take our eyes off the Savior. I understand that it's God who uses man, but it's God who does the work. That funeral come around. We had a funeral on Friday that week, and boy, you talk about just broken. He wasn't just a church member, but he was like a big brother to me. And here I am as the pastor, the hardest thing I've ever done. I've buried my grandmother, preached her funeral, preached many funerals of friends and family, but that was the hardest thing I'd ever done that Friday, because that man was so dear to my heart. A man that when I could just say, "Listen, God's leading me, I think we need to do this in time, let's pray," he'd say, "Let's do it." He'd go to the other men, rally them, and he'd say, "Let's do it." It came time for us to want to start a bus route. He said he couldn't drive, and he said, "What man's going to go get a CDL so we can get that thing going?" And we already had 2 vans. We got the bus going. But on that morning, the night before, his wife and I sat in the church. They had the funeral there in the auditorium. Our auditorium will fit 200. I mean, that's squeezed in. That's not counting choir. Well, the night before, me and his wife talked. They're sitting on the front pew till about 2 o'clock in the morning. And we'd planned on his entire workforce, everybody who worked for him, to sit in the choir loft. But that night, as we sat there looking at the casket, she said, "Preacher," she said, "I think that they ought to sit right there in front of you." She said, "Because I believe there's some things that God would have you to say that Brother Andy would have you to say, and they need to see you face to face." That morning of the funeral, 400 people packed into our auditorium. There was men outside, families outside, people in the fellowship hall. I'm talking 400 just in the auditorium. we preached and had a glorious service, did exactly what I thought God would have us do and what Brother Andy'd want to be done. There was men that were beginning to come to our church who he'd been praying for. He called me in his office. Preacher, you see, he had a window out in his warehouse. He'd say, you see that man there? He has some needs. His family's going through it. Let's pray for him. Will you pray for him? We'd bow our heads right there and pray. He'd had men in the that worked for him, families worked for him. Preacher, I want to see them get saved. I want to see them get right with God. Well, that morning we preached, and to God's glory, I gave an invitation at the close of the service, and the family all right here on this side and his employees on this side. And I thought for sure, boy, a load of them employees are going to get saved. Little did I know that two of his cousins, who were prominent businessmen in our town, as I said, is there anybody here who needs to receive Christ their Savior so you know that you're prepared for heaven? With tears streaming down their faces, his cousins raised their hand. I looked over here and about four of his employees raised their hand. I looked in the back and some other raised their hand. Eight folks that morning at the funeral got saved. There was a man and a lady and their family been visiting the church. Brother Andy been inviting them and been praying for them. I mean, invitation time would come and he'd be on that altar just a crying and weeping every invitation. Oh God, save Jeremy, Lord. Oh God, get a hold of Jeremy's heart. And boy, when I would preach during the services, an invitation give, you could just tell that Jeremy, God was dealing with his heart, but it's hard to believe you can find a man bigger than me. But this man I'm talking about, he makes me look small. And you could just tell God dealing with him during invitation. He would grip the pew, he would stand there and shake, but he would not move. I thought for sure, morning of the funeral, he's gonna get saved. Boy, he didn't get saved. My heart broke for him. I kept praying. But the next Sunday morning, I got up and I prayed. I preached, and it was Father's Day, and I preached on men of character, and I preached out of the book of Job and how Job was a man of character and a man of faith. And boy, I gave the invitation, and boy, God blessed a 78-year-old lady from the back, walked the aisle, got saved. She said, I worked for Andy when he first started his business. Me and my wife had visited her before in her home, and she told me about baptism and church building, all these things, how she was saved, because all those, I couldn't help her none. And till the Lord began to convict her. Well, that morning she walked the aisle just weeping. She said, I need to know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Family joined the church. There were some others I think we baptized that morning. I was about to close the invitation, Pastor Carter, and I was getting ready to close, and God just, you know how the Lord speaks to your heart and says you can't quit yet. And so I said, listen, can I beg with you one last time? You may not see tomorrow. Tonight might be your night that God draws your last breath. And boy, about that time, Jeremy West, big old 6'5", about 400 pounds, got up sobbing like a baby, come walking down the aisle, put his arms around me, preacher, I love you and I need to get saved. I led him to the Lord right there, and I baptized him this past Sunday. But boy, God's good. You know, a lot of times we go through storms and things we don't understand, but God's working it all out, amen. And I just want to brag on the Lord a moment. We're going to get in this passage of Scripture, and it'll tie right in with what I'm sharing with you. And our missions conference, told you how we ended the year. Boy, God bless our missions conference. Church, 4 years old in August, will be 4 years old. God has blessed us. We see folks saved every week. We have 48 missionaries now that we support. God has blessed there. Our Faith Promise missions in just 3 years, our goal for 2016 was to raise $52,000 for missions. And that I know that's not much compared to what y'all do, but when you take about 100 people out in the country, amen, and I mean just common folk, that's a lot of money. And but can I tell you what happened last 2 weeks ago, preacher? 2 weeks ago, I'm hoping I'm encouraging you here. I know it's summer, and sometimes you get down and you get out, but I'm here to tell you God's still on the throne, amen. He's still at work, amen. He's still doing what he said he would do. He's building his church, and he's still saving souls. And 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night, the men come to me after church when they count the offering and said, preacher, anytime they come to you after they count the offering, you think first thing, there's a problem. We're not meeting budget. Something's wrong. By the way, praise God, in 4 years, we've never been in the red, not one time. God's blessed in a mighty way. They come to me and said, "Preacher, can you ever remember having a $14,000 offering on Sunday morning?" And I thought for a minute. I said, "Well, we've taken them up about $10,000 or $11,000 for a missions project, or you know, for special offerings. But just a Sunday's offering without me sharing a need, I can't remember that." They said, "Well, today the offering's almost $15,000." I said, "Praise God." They said, "But preacher, it's better than that." He said, "10,000 of that's missions." Boy, I about had a shouting spell. I called Brother Cham. I knew Brother Cham would shout the glory with me, amen, Brother Cham McMillan, and boy, he did, and Miss Maxine's probably looking at him like he was crazy. And so this past Sunday, a week ago tonight, the men come to me, and they said, "Preacher, we've had a almost $15,000 offering, but can you ever remember having almost $25,000? I don't think you heard me. I'm talking about a country church out in the country with 100 common folk, amen. $25,000 without the preacher getting up begging and pleading and saying we have a need. $15,000 of that's missions. You say, where'd it come from? God. You see, we have a vision in our church to take the gospel around the world, to reach everybody we can in Waycross. We want to reach everybody we can around the world. Wednesday, a week ago, we just sent what'll make just under 100,000 King James Bibles to Africa. Our church has had a part in that. What a blessing that is. Man, God's so good to us. Now, I want to get in the Bible, and there's just one verse I want to look at for a moment. I want to challenge you. I want to stir your heart, amen. We serve a big God. No matter what the economy says, no matter what the politicians say, no matter what the signs of the times say, listen, hey, God is still God. God is still real, amen. God is still at work. I believe God's just looking for some people that will get a vision of what the Lord wants to do in these last moments of the last days of this church age, amen. Look with me here in Proverbs 29 and verse number 18. I've had this on my heart for a while. I've preached a similar message to our church about a month ago, challenging them, and I believe this is what God would have for us this evening. I won't take much time, but verse number 18, you know the verse so very well. It'd help if I got out of Psalms and got into Proverbs, amen. And Proverbs 29, verse number 18. The Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Where there is no vision, the people perish. I thank God that Dr. Carter still has a vision, amen. And church, I praise the Lord's holy name that there's some folks in Haines City, Florida that still have a vision, amen. I mean, folks that still want to get behind their man of God, folks that still want to get behind their church and say, "Boy, let's do something for the Lord while we still have time to do it." Amen. Now, can I tell you this evening, this verse isn't only referring to the lost perishing, but can I tell you, listen, we that are saved, if we have no vision, we are spiritually, listen, hey, going to go backward. We're going to perish. Amen. I'm not talking about going to hell, but I'm talking about we're going to get backslidden if we don't have a vision. You know, when we go through life without God's word, we're living with a blurred and distorted vision. And I believe that, listen, where there's no Bible vision, the people will perish. Amen. Hey, and I'm here to tell you, I've been blind. I was born legally blind. I know what it is not to be able to see. I know what it is for your vision to be distorted and to be blurred and not be able to see. But dear Christian friend, tonight, God does not desire, he does not intend on us going through life with a blurred vision. Amen. He's given us his precious word. Therefore, listen, when we get away from the Bible, we become a danger to ourselves and others around us. You know what would happen? I remember I had surgery 15 years ago in my eyes, and I was 20/20 the next day. But I remember that Friday I went to have surgery. If I took my glasses off, a stop sign just looked like a big old red thing. I had no clue what it was. A stoplight, amen. It just looked like Christmas lights somewhere hanging, amen. I couldn't see. And can I tell you, listen, hey, not only if I tried driving with that blurred vision, I wouldn't just be endangering myself, but I'd be putting other folks in harm. And church, can I tell you tonight, when we go through this life without a vision, not only are we harming ourselves, but we're being a danger to others who are around us, amen. There's a world that is perishing and going to hell, amen. There's a nation that has turned their back on a holy, righteous God, on the things of God. And if, church, if we don't get a vision, amen, hey, we're going to hurt a lot of folks all around us, amen. I want to share with you a few things. I was looking for Dr. Bradley. I guess he's at the beach somewhere tonight. No, I know where he's at. He's out preaching all summer, amen. But I remembered one of his classes, Fear the Lord. Brother Barry, you may remember Fear the Lord class. He would say this statement just about every day in that class. He would say, tell us a quote from A.W. Tozer, and he would say this: what comes to our mind first when we think about God is the most important thing about us, amen. You remember him saying that all the time. He would say that. He quoted it from W.A. Tozer. And I believe that. Listen, I believe that when we think about God, listen, hey, what comes to our mind when we think about the Lord, it's important to us, amen. You know what's wrong with our nation today? They think about the Lord today, they don't even think about the Lord. They just think about the man upstairs. They just think about Mother Nature that preacher talked about. They just think about, well, a higher power, amen. But church, listen, we have the truth. We have God's word. We know that, listen, we don't just serve the man upstairs. By the way, I take offense to that, church. Hey, a Christian ought not, listen, disrespect a holy, righteous God by just saying the man upstairs, oh, my buddy upstairs, this and that. No, no, no. He's the creator, amen, of the universe. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. Amen. Hey, we ought to reverence His holy name when we think about the Lord. If we're going to live a life pleasing to God in church, if we're going to have a church life that is pleasing to God, it's important that we first have the correct vision of who God is. You know, that's the problem with our nation. Our nation has forgotten who God is. They've forgotten our forefathers. They've forgotten the foundation upon which our nation was founded, which we were built. And I mean, we've just gotten away from it. But church, we can't afford to do that tonight in 2016. Let me share with you just a few brief thoughts. I'm going to preach quick. If you'll listen quick, we'll get done quickly. Amen. Number one, we must have an upward vision. An upward vision. Having an upward vision is having a vision of who and what God is. The Bible says, listen, the Bible tells us from the beginning to the end of the book, the Bible reveals the Lord to us, amen. The Bible reveals that, listen, hey, there is a holy God. There is a righteous God. And then there's a world full of sinners, amen, like you and I, who need a holy God, who need a Savior. But listen, hey, we've got to have an upward vision of who God is. The Bible tells us that God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. In Genesis 18, verse 14, the Bible says, is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer to that is no, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Amen. There's nothing too hard for God. Amen. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the president, the mayors, the governors, the congressmen, I don't care about old Lion Hillary, what she says. Amen. Hey, I'm here to tell you, hey, God is still a powerful God. He's all powerful. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, no. Hey, is that missions budget? Is it too hard for the Lord? Oh, no. God's just looking for some men, for some women, for some families that'll get a vision of lost people around the globe perishing and dropping into a devil's hell. Amen. He just needs some folks to get a vision that right here in Haines City, amen, your own Jerusalem, there's folks perishing without Christ. Nothing's too hard for God. I think about his how he's not just omnipotent, but he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 6, the Bible says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsettings, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Amen. I'm glad I serve an all-knowing God. I was talking to some men at our church, and I know what preacher, a little bit of how he feels. Brother Pritchard going on to be with the Lord. Amen. So unexpected. Preacher would lean on Brother Pritchard to do so much. Amen. And there's other folks that you get leaned on to do so many things, and when something so sudden, so unexpectedly takes place, the first thing we as humans do, at least this kind of human, amen, I know you're probably a lot more spiritual than me, but sometimes the first thing I'll do is I'll say, God, what are you doing? Lord, do you realize what has just taken place? I'm glad to report to you today that, listen, hey, before Brother Pritchard drew his last breath, God already knew when that appointment was going to be, amen. Hey, God already knew exactly what was going to take place in the days following, amen. By the way, can I say this? God even knew that we were going to get the president we have. God already knows the next one we're going to have. Amen. He's an all-knowing God. Thank God for that, amen. How about, listen, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are every place, beholding the evil and the good, amen. Hey, how many bus workers we got here at church tonight? Raise your hand. Hey, you may think nobody notices, nobody knows, other than the folks that complain about the bus kids tearing up the pews, about the bus kids tearing up the Sunday school class. Nobody knows what I do. Nobody knows that I get up at 7 in the morning to go check the oil in the bus. Nobody knows that, listen, on Saturday night I go make sure there's fuel in all them buses. Nobody knows that I go and spend 7 or 8 hours visiting my bus kids on Saturday just so only half of them will wake up and come on Sunday. Nobody knows. Hey, nobody knows about the hours I prepare for my Sunday school lesson. By the way, you ought to be preparing for your Sunday school lesson. Amen right there. Nobody knows, preacher. Nobody knows. Dear friend, quit listening to the lie of the devil. Amen. Hey, I'm here to tell you, the brother or sister next to you may not know. The one across the aisle may not know. The man behind the pulpit may not always know, but I'm glad to report to you tonight. There's an all-knowing God in heaven, amen. And I'm glad to report to you tonight that, listen, your labor is not in vain, amen. He's taking notice of it. By the way, if you're looking for all your rewards here, you're just wasting your time, amen. He's immutable, amen. He's never changing. We serve a God that does not change. I'm so sick and tired of a generation of folks that says that this Bible is irrelevant for the day and age which we live. That old-fashioned, old-time religion, I'm talking about slobber slinging, hacking, preaching. It's just old-fashioned. Don't do it no more. Dear friend, listen. Hey, it still pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Amen. But listen, hey, I'm glad God don't change. This book don't change, bless God. I'm glad you're in a church that, listen, Pastor Carter will rip on the sodomites, amen. I'm glad Pastor Carter will rip on the drunkards. I'm glad, oh boy, this is going to hurt some. I'm glad Pastor will get up and work on that crowd that's shacking up together, amen. Well, we're in the 21st century, preacher. It's different today. We'll never get a big Sunday night crowd if Dr. Carter keeps preaching that way. I'm praying that his preaching just gets harder till Jesus comes. Amen. God's a never-changing God. Young folks, listen. Hey, you don't need all the new gadgets, all the new thrills and all those things. Listen, all you need is God's word. Amen. Just get a vision of what God has for you doing in your life. For him, amen. He's never changing. Boy, I've got a vision I shared with our church few weeks ago, I guess about a month ago, I said, "Church, y'all are going to think I'm nuts." On a Thursday, it was on a Sunday night. I said, "I'm going to share with you some things God's laid on my heart." And I generally will have a vision Sunday, the first Sunday of the new year. And I did that. But then there were some things God laid on my heart. I shared them with the church, and I said, "Y'all are going to think that this young guy, that I'm insane, I'm crazy, and everything else, but I'm here to tell you, I believe God's given me a vision for the rest of this year. I believe he's increased my faith. I believe he's increased my burden." I said, "Church, by the end of the year, I believe that, listen, we can see double the amount of attendance on Sunday morning." Boy, to my surprise, the church said, "Amen, preacher." I said, "Church, we've got two vans and one bus, and I'm praying and asking God that he'll help us, listen, hey, to start another bus route by the end of the year." I thought the people would say, "Where's the money going to come from, preacher?" They said, "Amen, preacher, let's start another bus route." By the way, that night, hey, you ladies, don't ever underestimate your word to the man of God, amen, your word to the man of God. That night after I got done, there was a lady, I didn't even know she had a CDL, and she just joined her church about 2 months ago, her and her family, and they've been faithful. She come to me after church. She said, "Preacher," because I said, "We're going to have to pray now. Some of you going to have to go get a CDL. Someone else has to drive that thing, and I'm already driving one. We got the two vans." She come to me. She said, "Preacher, I've driven school bus all my life." She said, "You get a bus, and I'll drive that thing." Man, you talk about good. Amen. Oh, the bus route don't work no more. God hadn't changed. Oh, the people, you can't get them to work no more. God ain't changed. Hey, I believe, listen, hey, when God gives a man a burden and a vision, amen, he'll supply to meet that need still in 2016. I said, "Church, we're going to have to get a bus." "Preacher, where are we going to get one? We need to start saving up." I said, "Uh-uh." Bible says you have not because you ask not, right? I said, "I'm praying God will give us two." "But preacher, you're only starting one route." I got a vision of what we're going to do later on, amen. And it's always good to have a backup, a spare one, Brother Wiebe. And so I've been driving by the YMCA there in town. And man, they got more buses than y'all do now. I thought, what in the world are they doing? They're starting bus ministry. So I called them up. I said, "I speak to the director of that thing." They put them on the phone. "Yes, sir, how can I help you?" I introduced myself. He said, "Man, I'm glad you called." He said, we're in a bus barn down here." He said, "I've got 12 buses and I only need four." I said, "Well, praise God." He said, "I'm having my mechanic next week go through them, check them out, see what we're keeping, what we're getting rid of." He said, "What do you need them for?" I told him. I said, "We just run church kids to church. I mean, we don't use them to go on long trips, just right here on town." "Well, how many days do you use them?" "Well, Sunday morning, Sunday night." He said, "I believe they'll all make trips Sunday morning, Sunday night." And I'm waiting. He's supposed to call me back this Friday. You pray with me about this. I'm waiting for him to call me, and I'm praying that when he says, "How much are you looking to spend?" I can share with him. I'm going to trust he's a godly man. I'm going to say, "I'm just trusting God to give us a couple buses." You say you ought not ask for things. I'm not asking him. I'm asking God. Amen. Hey, I've heard about what God's done for preacher. Did I mention God hadn't changed? He's a never changing God. Amen. I believe we'll get a vision. We'll get a burden. Amen. I believe God will supply. God will meet the need. Boy, I could go on and on and on. He's uncontainable. I mean, uncontainable. 1 Kings 8 and verse 27, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heaven cannot contain thee. How much less the house that I have builded?" Amen. Hey, God's not contained to these blocks and this mortar, to this roof and these pews. Amen. I mean, God is still a big God. God's still a good God. Church, listen. Don't get discouraged and say, "Look at the crowd. Boy, we're down. Boy, look at the choir. It's not as full as what it is in January. And look at this and look at that." Amen. By the way, I'll tell you what I've been telling my church. Preacher, when they come to me and say, "What about that crowd that's thinned out in the choir?" I say, "I'm glad you just signed up for choir." Amen. Brother Pitts, I noticed there were some buses didn't get driven this morning. What happened? We're short on drivers. I saw that. Hey, thanks for signing up. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I mean, just get a vision. I challenged our bus workers yesterday morning. I mean, we don't run 300 in buses. If we run over 70, I mean, we're shouting glory, hallelujah. I'm talking about a 36 passenger bus, we'll pack 60 on sometimes, and two 15 passenger vans that we'll pack 20 on sometimes. I hope the Georgia State Patrol don't come looking for me for confessing tonight. But I don't even know what I was saying, amen. I got concerned about the law. Oh yeah, but I forgot. I'll just tell them what Hillary said. I didn't intend on none of that. Isn't that good? Talking about having a vision. Man, we serve a good God. I could go on and on and on. But I mean, I think about that book. I've got that book laying on my desk that a man, you may know his name, Dr. Mickey P. Carter wrote. I think Miss Carolyn Lee had a lot to do with it. I think it was just things that Brother Carter said that she got the CDs and tapes and put it to paper. Somebody did. Called His Hand Is Real. Amen. His hand is real. I hadn't been pastoring 45 years. I hadn't been at it as long as Dr. Carter, but I've been at it long enough to know this. God's hand is still real. I mean, He's shown me some mighty things. He's done things. Listen, I could stay here all night telling you about the good hand of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord. He's still real, church. But preacher, we live in this 2016, and it's a political year, and I mean, it's just not a whole lot's going to happen. Church, can I remind you, God's not dead. I mean, where's your vision? You know, I told you, I've been guilty of fixing my eyes upon man. I'm just being honest with you. And I think if every one of us were honest, we would say there's been a time in our life when we've done that. But I'll tell you something, listen. It sure helped me a bunch whenever I got on my knees before God and said, Lord, forgive me. I know You use man, but I know that it all comes from You. And I know that, listen, hey, that You still want to do a work in 2016. I told the church about some different things, and man, the church is just excited about it. Our anniversary is July the 21st, and our record attendance is 241. We had that two years ago on our anniversary for our second anniversary. And I challenged our workers and our bus workers. I said, look, I said, bus workers, I said, we got to do something. I said, we got to begin to pray and labor and work and just trust God to do something that only He can do. And I often quote Brother Chan McMillan. I love that dear man of God. I remember when I first started pastoring over in Auburndale, we sat down at McDonald's in Lakeland, and he put that big old shaky finger in my face, and he said, now, Brother Chad, he said, one thing that's going to help you a lot in the ministry is this. You have to have a vision that's bigger than you. He said, you've got to have a vision that's so big that only God can do it. Can I tell you, I hadn't forgotten that. And I try to remind the church of that all the time, our church, and I tell our bus workers that. Well, our attendance, we set some goals for our anniversary service in August, and we're going to set up a big tent. No, we're not trying to duplicate Landmark, amen. We're not having a carnival yet. We're going to set up a tent, and we're calling that the bus tent. And our record attendance, 241, we're using 4 for our theme. I said, church, I said, we're going to order 4,000 invitations and we're going to give them out. I said, I'm going to challenge each church member to personally invite 40 people. I said, I challenge every church member, if you'll accept the challenge, on August the 21st, when Sunday morning, 10 o'clock rolls around, you bring 4 people with you to church. I said, not a family. Not each family bring 4, but each person in the family bring 4. I thought for sure they're going to think I was crazy. Man, they got excited about that. I said, let's do this. We're going to have, we're going to call it Homecoming Jubilee Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. I got Brother Scott Caudill, a friend, coming to preach those three nights and sing, and him and his family. And I said, let's pray that week God will give us 40 souls to be saved. I said, and then let's do this. Let's ask God to give us over 400 Sunday morning. You say, preacher, can you do that? No. But I serve a God who can. I said, church, if we're going to do all those things, it's going to require us to get a vision, amen. It's going to require the church to get a hold of the vision that God has given me, but it's going to take that four-letter dirty word nobody likes. It's going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take a lot of prayer. But then I preached here a few Sunday nights ago. I preached where Jesus said, my mind's slipping. I can't even remember what I preached that night. It was on faith. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said this, have faith in God. Man, I got a hold of that verse there in the Bible, and Lord began to do a work in my heart, amen, began to convict me of where I was lacking in faith, where I didn't have enough faith in Him. And boy, God did something for me, and I thought, boy, if God did that for me in my study, the Lord will do that for the church, amen. I'm telling you, we gave invitation that night. The altars were filled, people weeping, people crying. They said, preacher, let's do something for God in the last 6 months of this year. Isn't that exciting? Now listen, hey, God can still do it, amen. We don't just need an upward vision, but we've got to have also, listen, a downward vision. A vision of hell. Hell is still real. Hell is still hot. People are still perishing and dropping into hell every single minute of the day, every day of the week, every week of the month. People are dying and going to hell. Right here in America, people are dying and going to hell. Listen. We've got to have a vision as we sit on comfortable pews on a Sunday morning, as we sit in a comfortable pew on Sunday night. Listen, there's a lost world out there that's never heard what we're hearing from God's Word on Sundays and on Wednesdays. I remember last August I was in Kenya, Uganda for 21 days. We went over there when the container of Bibles were come in, and we were distributing Bibles and holding meetings. I remember meeting out there, meeting in Uganda. I'm talking about in the bush, no electric, no running water, nothing. The missionary drove us out there. One of the helps missionaries drove us, I mean, for hours and hours and hours down dusty roads. Then we drove down places where there was no road, just grass and brush and stuff. And I said, where are we going? Church. We stopped the car, and there is this I'd call it a shrub, amen, or a bush, not even a tree. And all of a sudden, he stopped the car. I said, Brother George, what we doing? He said, we're having church. Where's the church? Right there. We're going to meet under that tree. Where's the people? They'll be here. He got out of the car and began to sing. As he began to sing, preacher, all of a sudden you saw literally, I mean, like what you see on TV, you see grass spreading, you see faces, black faces coming out. They're carrying buckets and benches and wood on their heads for their seats. They come up rubbing me. First white man they ever seen, they thought maybe it was gonna rub off, amen. I remember underneath that tree, preacher, I just opened the Word of God. And I just preached out of Romans 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I told them about the Lord, amen, how that He left heaven, how He came, and how He lived a sinless, perfect life, and how He shed His blood, and how He was broken for the sins of man, how that He was buried and rose again the third day, how He ascended up to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father, amen. Hey, that I don't even know what time of day it was by that time, amen. All I know is this. I said, heads bowed, eyes closed, the interpreter's interpreting. All of a sudden, half of the congregation gathered and started circling around me. I'm looking at the missionary. I thought, what in the world's going on? He said, they come to be saved. They come to be saved. Man, we dealt with them folks, and in one meeting, over 40 people underneath a tree got saved. Man, we went to places where the Word of God, King James Bible's what we took to them, amen. And their newspapers are in English, their street signs are in English, so hey, why not give them the pure, perfect English Bible, amen. So hey, when we get to a hotel, they would rush our car. Bible, 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 Bible. And when we ran out of 30,000 Bibles in 7 days, Here's what they said. When are you coming back? When will you bring more? I'm talking about people who have never, I have pictures of elderly people in their 60s and 70s clutching the Word of God that we gave them to their chest. And I mean, just a weeping, tears streaming down their face. Preacher, I had people on their hands and knees thanking me. Thank you for bringing the Word of God. People that never held a Bible. Man, so hungry. What kind of vision do we have? Do we have a downward vision? Them people that never heard the Word of God. Them people that never held the Word of God. Boy, they need to be saved. They need to be saved. But how about this? I'm going to close right here. How about a backward vision? How about remembering what we once were? How about remembering where we came from? You know, preacher, there's something I never want to forget. I don't want to forget about a little real estate office, not an office, but an office hallway on Elizabeth Street in Waycross, Georgia. Because in that hallway of that office building is where we started with about 12 people. In that little hallway is where God began to deal with people. In that hallway is where God brought a group of men, two men, and said, "Preacher, we heard you came to town to start a church. We have a building, but we have no pastor. Would you pray about coming and helping?" Boy, I don't want to forget that. But you know what else I don't want to forget? I don't want to forget about March the 16th. When I sat right over there somewhere around where Brother Stanek was, my wife was in the house right back there. I was on the end of the pew from Brother Barry. The preacher was preaching, the evangelist was. Pastor Carter got up to give the invitation. Here I am, I'm a pastor's son. I'm a young man called to preach. I'm in Bible college. But preacher said, "I can't close the invitation just yet because I just feel like someone else needs to get saved." There must have been 7 or 8, 10 people saved that night, baptized that night. That morning there was a bunch saved. But I'll never forget, listen, I sat there during 4 or 5 verses of invitation. I was sitting there broken inside under conviction because I just knew if I died that night I'd split hell wide open. I was a liar. I was a hypocrite. I was living a double life. I was saying I was something that I was not. You see, listen, I had religion, but I did not have a relationship. I didn't possess salvation. I professed it, but never possessed it. But I remember when preacher spoke them words, "I can't quit just yet. There's somebody here who still needs to get saved." I remember Dr. Gary Herring was standing right here. They say that as I ran down the aisle, I picked him up and carried him with me to the altar. And it was right here. He said, "What you doing? What you doing, Brother Chad?" I said, "I need to get saved. I need to get saved, Dr. Herring." And he took his Bible and he laid it right there and he said, "You know what you need to do?" Can I tell you, I never want to forget about the night I called upon the name of the Lord. I had folks that night that said, "Preacher, I'm glad you got assurance. Preacher, I'm glad that you rededicated. Preacher, I'm glad that, you know, that you settled some things." But can I tell you, that night, listen, I left that pew a lost sinner, but I walked back, listen, a born-again child of God. I don't want to forget that. I don't want to forget the times that, listen, the times that I'd sit in services and hear the gospel and just put it off for whatever the reason was. I don't want to forget. I told you about Jeremy, that great big old man. I baptized him last Sunday morning. That was a scene. I dropped him. He's so big when he went under, I couldn't get him back up. I forgot what I was saying, Brother Pouch. You ever been there? I baptized you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and that's the last thing I remember. He's down there laying on his back. He's a big old man. I bring him back up, check him, see if he's still breathing. Then I remembered, oh, I'm supposed to say something else. Buried in lightness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. But Friday, I went to Brother Jeremy's office, and I walked in there and knocked on the door. He said, "Preacher, I was just about to call you. I was going to see if you come talk to me." He said, "I can't explain it, but something really been bothering me since I got saved. there's something else I need to do. I said, well, I was coming to talk to you about baptism. He said, that's it. He said, I need to get baptized. That's what I was calling you about. But I remember Brother Pounce, I sat there in his office for about an hour and a half. Customers would come in. He'd say, I'm sorry, I'm busy right now. Well, he was hungry. Hungry for the Word of God. Hungry to know the next thing he needed to do. Hungry to grow. And this is what he said. He said, preacher, he said, I didn't intend on walking that aisle Sunday morning. He said, matter of fact, I've been telling myself for about 2 months, no matter how much you beg and plead, I'm not getting down there in front of them people. He said, I knew I was lost, knew I needed to get saved, but I wasn't going to do that. And he said this, he said, then during the funeral, I said, if I did do that, there's no way I'd go down there crying like everybody else. But that morning when he walked the aisle, I mean, he's just shedding tears, threw his arms around me and hugged me. Thank you. I love you, preacher. But that Friday, last Friday, when I was sitting in his office, this is what he said. He said, preacher, I can't explain this. He said, for years, I lay on my bed at night thinking about death, thinking about what's going to take place when I die. He said, preacher, that haunts me. Then he said this, no, it don't. It used to haunt me. He said, preacher, Sunday night I went home and I slept the best that I've ever slept in all my life. He said, I can't put into words, preacher. He began to cry sitting there at his desk, weeping. Preacher, I can't describe to you what has taken place. He said, it's just gone. That's all I can say. And I said, well, I said, let me share with you something. You can tell me if it's similar. I said, on March the 16th on a Sunday night about 8 o'clock or 8:30 in front of a piano down there in Haines City, Florida, I said, I went down there with a burden so heavy on my heart. I went down there as though I felt like, listen, somebody had placed a pallet of blocks upon my heart and I couldn't take it no more. I couldn't carry it. I was so weak underneath the load and it was crushing me and killing me. But I said, listen, that night when I got on my knees and I said, Jesus, I believe that you died for me and I want to invite you into my heart. Will you save me? Be my Savior. I place my faith in you the best way I know how. I said, Jeremy, when I got off that altar, I said, Jeremy, it was as though God reached down with a big old hand and just took all of that away. And he said, preacher, that's it. He said, that's exactly how it is. He said, that Sunday morning, it's gone. God took it away. Boy, I don't want to forget that. You know what that does? That helps me, listen, to want to go and reach somebody else. So they can say, it's gone, Brother Pouch. The sin burden, listen, when we get saved, we may not know all the terminology, but what it is, listen, the sin burden's gone. God's taken it away. Can I tell you, I'm glad that I had a preacher that had a vision for lost people that wasn't concerned about just hurrying up and quitting because it's 20 after 8 on a Sunday night and people want to go to Pizza Hut and Burger King and Dairy Queen and all these places. But he said, listen, hey, there's somebody still needs to get saved. By the way, church, can I tell you, listen, when you go to all them places tonight, and I'm all for all them places, we're going to find something like that when we leave. But even in those places, there's Jeremy sitting all over there. There's folks from Kenya and Uganda that have never heard the truth of the gospel sitting all over there. Will we have a vision for them? Man, I'm so full. I can't begin to explain all that's on my heart. But listen, I never want to lose the vision that God's given me. I don't want to lose it. I want to continue to see souls saved. Somebody said, preacher, how many more missionaries are we going to take on? I said, every year, let's just take on everyone we possibly can. Well, preacher, what's the limit as to how many missionaries you'll take on? I said, I don't know that there is a limit, but listen, hey, I'll be shouting glory if little old Countryside Baptist Church in Waycross, Georgia was able to say, listen, we proudly support 200 missionaries around the world. Preacher, just a little church, you think you can do that? No. But I've got a God who can. Would you bow your heads with me this evening? I hope I didn't just ramble on. I hope I've been an encouragement and a help to somebody. Church, listen. We're in the last moments of the last days. Whatever we do for Christ, we must be busy about the Lord's work doing it. People are dying, going to hell. Well, we've had, the last couple weeks, we've had bus kids get saved in junior church. We'd go to drop them off at their house. Little old Laura off of Isabella Street in Waycross went to get off the bus. She turned, walked back up the steps, threw her arms around me. Preacher, thank you. Thank you for coming and knocking on my door. Preacher, thank you for taking me to church. Thank you, I love you. Boy, that's precious. There's a lot of other Lauras out there, a lot of other Jeremys. Church, listen, God's not done. Let's stay busy about the Lord's work. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, that big guy you were explaining and all of that weight upon you and all those things you explained, preacher, that's me. Tonight, preacher, if God were to call for my last breath tonight, I don't know where I'll spend eternity. Dear friend, why don't you come to this altar and let someone take a Bible and show you how to be saved so you can know where you spend eternity. Church, I invite you tonight, listen, old and young alike, why don't you get on this altar? Why don't you bow there in the pew if you can't get down on this altar and say, God, oh, rekindle that vision in my heart. Lord, rekindle that fire that once burned. God, help me to catch a glimpse of what you've laid upon preacher's heart and let me help carry the load. Preacher, lead me to some lost sinners that need to be saved. Whatever your need is, would you stand to your feet? Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your precious word. God, I thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins. God, I thank you that we have the promise that, Lord, that when we labor for you, we're not laboring alone, but we're laborers together with you.
Amen.
God, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, this thing of having a vision. Lord, help us to see the need. God, I pray tonight, if there be some that are lost here tonight, I pray that you'd help them to see that hell is real, that eternity is forever. Dear God, I pray that tonight, if there be anybody lost, that tonight they'd come and they'd get saved. I love you, God, and I thank you for what you're going to do now in the